Amen. Acts chapter number 5 this evening. Boy, ain't it good to be saved. Acts 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it. She had got accustomed to a nice lifestyle. Don't say amen right there tonight. And brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, why come she laid it there? Why didn't she bring the fifth Sunday night conference? Because they didn't have one. The early church brought it to the apostles' feet and distribution was made as they had need of. And it wasn't no biggins and it wasn't no lillins. And I want to say tonight, that kind of format still works. In the day and hour that we live. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Now ain't that something? There's one filled with the Holy Ghost and there's another filled with the devil. Matter of fact, if old Ananias had been with the rest of that crowd, the day the power came, the Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It wouldn't have been no room for the devil. You can be seated. I'm going to ramble a little bit. I can tell. You see, our problem, the reason the devil fills us up, because we're not full of something else. And that's God. And so he said, I like Peter. Boy, he's full of discernment. Matter of fact, you're not going to fool many men filled with the Holy Ghost. A lot of times you'll say, well, how'd you know that? Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, he fell down and gave up the ghost. He fell dead. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Matter of fact, we had more of that going on in our local New Testament churches tonight. We might get some fear of God back around God's house. They might not pull behind your church and do their awful thing. Throw their stuff out on the lawn that the housekeeper has to pick up. And gets me embarrassed for you young as I see what these heathens throw out on the lawn. And so, fear came on all them that heard these things. I wish America would go to getting some fear of God back. The young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered and heard, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway in his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead. Carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. The rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord multitudes, both of men and women. I could see this money crowd said, you can't make it without us. They said, we'll show you we can. I know a lot of folks running the Baptist church tonight. They got a few things. They think they call all the shots and run everything. But let me tell you tonight, hey, we can get along without you. Well, y'all quiet. You must have too much tonight. But that's not where I'm headed. But I could. And it would be a timely message. A lot of folks think just because they got something, they ought to be able to call all the shots in the church, even though they know nothing about the Holy Ghost. I'm interested in verse number 2. The Bible said they kept back part of the price. His wife also being private to it brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. I want to preach on this thought tonight, the dangers of holding back. There's some dangers of holding back what God's done asked us for. Matter of fact, you may be done told us that maybe you give something to God, but you're enjoying it now in your private life. Like them. But tonight, I'm interested in that thought of the dangers of holding back. I want to say it's no sense in holding back preaching tonight. A lot of people say, now listen, now we got visitors and, you know, Sunday morning we're trying to get all our numbers up. We're having Sunday school drives and campaigns and clinics and gimmicks and games and gadgets, and we got boys jumping through hoops and swallowing goldfishes, and while we hunting somebody to fill the house up. What happened to old-time Holy Ghost preaching? Preaching. Oh, we don't need to hold back what God has asked for, and He's asked us to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, there's the foolishness of preaching. Foolishness of preaching. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, it's the power of God. I can tell people that saved when you're preaching. Save people when you're preaching. Don't stare out the windows and wish the service was over. You can get into preaching if you're saved under preaching tonight. He said, them that don't know nothing about God, it's foolishness to them. Said it's bizarre, but we which are saved, it's the power of God. Thank the Lord for Calvary's cross tonight. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Now, I looked up this word, foolishness. And this is what it says, absurd or an absurdity. A lot of folks say, I don't know why in the world a man would do that. I don't either. I don't know why in the world a man would walk out of a public job and do this unless he's got a call of God on him. That's the only thing I can figure out tonight. But certainly this world looks at it as foolish. They think you're foolish tonight together, not be at home watching CNN or Fox News. They think you're foolish together three times a week in the house of God. They think your Bible's foolish. They think you're foolish. Not only do they think your preacher's foolish, they think you foolish. It's glad to be around foolish people. I like what one old boy said, I'm a fool for Christ. And on the back he said, whose fool are you? Thank God I'm glad I'm a fool for Jesus tonight. And then I looked on this thing of preaching. It means to proclaim and herald. And we got too many Mickey Mouse preachers that's running around the fort, won't fire the gun. Honey, the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so tonight. Oh my, we need the foolishness of preaching in the day and hour that we live. Matter of fact, he said he chose the foolishness of preaching. Watch this in verse 21. To save them that believe. He didn't pick a fifth Sunday night singing to save them that believe. And I love singing good as anybody that's a preaching. Honey, he did not pick entertainment to save people. He picked the preaching of the Word of God to preach the gospel to every creature. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in Muhammad and it's not in Allah. My Lord, it's in the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bride of the morning star. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. You better believe, honey, if you bypass Christ, hell will be your home. You say, I'm a religious person. The Bible said, you must be born again. My goodness, we better not hold back preaching. Because there's the foolishness of preaching. And then 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, there's the faithfulness of preaching. Oh, I'm glad we can go to church where there's faithfulness of preaching. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 1, he said, I charge thee, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead, at His appearing and His kingdom. I like this. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season. Out of season. And reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Doctrine, get you doctrinated tonight. You know, we say this, well, everybody ought to go to church and being a Baptist don't make a difference. It does make a difference. Thank God I've come up under the gospel that tells me I'm saved to the day of redemption. Christ died on a rugged cross. The Holy Ghost fills me, walks with me, and talks with me. And I can't lose my salvation tonight. If I could work my salvation in, I could work my salvation out. But thank God I'm saved by grace tonight. And grace will keep me saved. It does matter how you believe. You bring children up in some kind of flim-flam church with no doctrine, why, they're going to be messed up as a termite in a yo-yo. They don't know if they're a pig or a possum. I don't blame you. I'd look out the wall, too. But, honey, I'm telling you, thank God that I've come up under the sound of Bible preaching, and I done gone too far to turn back now. It's not what the White House has to say about our country. It's what God says in this book. This book's going to stand when this place is burning up. Preaching. Well, not hold back on preaching. The foolishness of preaching. Then the faithfulness of preaching. He said, preach the Word. He said, reprove and rebuke and exhort thy own long. For the time will come. Watch this. The fact of preaching. When they'll not endure, that means put up with. Sound doctrine. Boy, I done seen somebody look wrong tonight. I done got mean, Brother Dale. I wished I hadn't have seen them. God, that just tears me up to see somebody look at me like I'm crazy. For the time will come, said, the crowd will be just like you. Look wall-eyed at a man of God. Said, time come, they'll not endure. They won't put up with sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell you about how sweet and pretty you are. Getting her little gown parade up in front of you. Tell you how blessed you are to pay your tithe to her today. But watch this. Well, not hold back on preaching, the foolishness of preaching. There's a faithfulness of preaching. There's a fact of preaching. He said, it's coming a time they'll not endure sound doctrine. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's fictions. That's falsehood. And that's imaginations. I can't tell you the churches in this community tonight used to have the fireball of the gospel in the pulpits. And now they've done nothing but turned it into zoos, to community centers, and they've quit preaching the Word of God. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Well, I understand what Jesus said. And I done found this out. And I'm going to let you in on it. You get a Holy Ghost-filled preacher preaching, you ain't going to like everything he preaches. This Bible's a two-edged sword, honey. It cuts. And it cuts deep. And I need preaching to make me do right. And I can tell from the way you look and what you drive, you need preaching too. Some of you get out of the car door slamming windows out on Sunday morning. Praise God. Looks like the Clampett's moved in at your house, stowed stuff all week. Somebody say amen right there. Oh, I know all about that banana throwing. Exactly right. I've been married a few weeks and my wife was backslid and I was lost. Amen. You know you was, girl. Huh. She picked that banana up and throwed it. Son, that thing is black as a stovepipe at daylight. Honey, I done found out. Church, just going to church don't do it for me. I got to have somebody preaching what Jesus said and what the Holy Ghost wants to do in my life. We need preaching in this day and hour. Hey, don't get traumatized in this hour, honey. We've cut our teeth at preaching at Liberty Baptist Church. My God, let's keep on preaching. Preaching got your baby saved. Preaching got you saved. It's going to get our grandbaby saved. Stay on the foot pedal with the hammer down, honey, and keep on preaching. Don't hold back preaching. Oh, the fact of preaching. And then the falling away of preaching. Look at Amos 8. Amos chapter number 8. This is an amazing verse to me. I tried to get a grip of it this evening. But in Amos chapter number 8, verse number 11, you can mark this, because this is what the Lord said. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I'll send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water. But here it is, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You know why? Because he ain't got no preachers around. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to the east. They shall run to and fro, watch, to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And it's got real close to that tonight. Holding back on preaching. May God help us to preach as a dying man to dying men. That there's a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun tonight. And you listen to me, friend. You may be eat up in your religion. You may say, preacher, I don't like that what you're doing tonight. It don't matter if you like it or not. It don't matter whether I like it or not. This Bible's true. You must be born again. Or you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. And you're going to burn for an eternity. For an eternity, you're going to burn. Because you bypassed the love of Christ. That passes all under. You know something? If somebody died for me, I'd want to know more about them. Christ died for you. Christ died for me. He died for individuals. He didn't die for a selected group. Christ died for all. And tonight, some of you are here. Maybe you say, well, preacher, you know, I've got time. Maybe you don't got time. And I'd sure hate to know I stood in this pulpit tonight and didn't tell you about the best friend I've ever had. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not perfect. I'll be the first to stand in front of a congregation and tell you I'm not perfect. I can tell you I try to do right every day that I live. When I sin, it grieves my heart and it grieves the Holy Ghost. And I try to repent of my sins when God shines that light on my sin. But let me tell you something, honey. The Lord Jesus loves you enough tonight. He died for you to keep you out of hell. I ain't throwing rocks at you. I'm just telling you, there's a sweet Lord sitting on a sweet throne. And He's soon to come back and get His youngins out of this world and take us to a better world. And I bless His name tonight. We ought not hold back on preaching. We ought not hold back on praying. We need heavenly praying. Look in Luke chapter number 3, verse number 21. Luke 3 and 21. There the Bible says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. Can I tell you tonight, heaven's still open? I'm glad I'm not praying to a closed heaven, Brother Randy. I'm glad, Brother Wendell, it's open tonight. Can I tell you, it's open for your house. What you need at your house, heaven's open. I like what the old preacher said the other night. God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He's got some cows. He ain't milked yet, friend. Heaven's open for your house. Heaven's open for your heart. If you need something from the Lord tonight, I guarantee you He's got it. I mean, He's everything you'll ever need now, tomorrow, or in eternal world. Thank God, heaven is open tonight. We need some heavenly praying. I appreciate Brother Dennis down there tonight praying in the men's prayer room. Thank God the ladies go up and pray. Hey, folks, if we can never, let's come to this church and never leave till we've prayed. Let's don't leave our homes and come to church till we've prayed. Get you an altar. Get you a place where you can pray and get along with God. Oh, we better quit holding back this prayer. Don't you realize in a church that's proclaiming the news of the Lord Jesus, a church that's still got standards, holding old time fundamental doctrines, honey, we're on the radar screen of the devil tonight. This ain't Mickey Mouse. This ain't some type of thing in Orlando, honey. This is the real deal. It's a raging warfare. The devil wants you and your marriage and your young'uns. He wants everything you got tonight that points toward God. Oh, my goodness. Talking about holding back. We need heavenly praying. Acts 12 and 11. We need some household praying. The early church, you know what they done? They got together in some of their houses, not to form other churches, not to vote the preacher out, not to have an agenda, but they got together to pray. And it's still all right to pray. Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if sometimes we just gather the men up here and come up here on a Friday or Saturday night and pray till. Amen. Acts 12, verse number 11. When Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel to deliver me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Folks, let me tell you something. Devil can do a lot of stuff with you, but he can't do nothing about your praying. You want to get the devil's nerves tore up, you just get to praying. You watch this. The devil lets you read your Bible. He'll let you pay your tithes. He'll let you come to church. But, buddy, he's going to fight that altar. I guarantee you the hardest thing in any Christian sitting on a pew here tonight is to pray. I guarantee you that. We get so busy, we forget to pray. We go right out the door, we ain't ask God about nothing. We ain't thank God for nothing. Then we wonder how come our day is in shambles. We wonder why we come home fussing, fighting, can't get along. I can tell you why we ain't prayed. We ain't prayed. You see, prayer is one of the greatest fundamentals of the Christian faith. How do we know what the Holy Ghost wants us to do if we're not in touch with Him and praying and talking? If we don't keep our lives cleaned up, how can we know what God's wanting in our life? Young people, it's very important for you to get saved, get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and know the direction of this book for your life. You don't want to marry the wrong one, young man. Young lady, you don't want to marry some kind of little heathen boy. Drag your young'uns out of the house of God. Raise them by the hair of the head. Raise them like a bunch of rebels. Know nothing about Jesus. You're trying to get your young'uns educated, you better be trying to get them saved. A man asked a little boy, he said, "Would you tell a lie for a quarter?" He said, "No." "Would you tell a lie for a dollar?" He said, "I sure wouldn't." He said, "Would you tell a lie for a $50 bill?" He said, "I sure wouldn't." He said, "Would you tell a lie for $1,000? He said, "You might as well start right there." He said, "Because when I done spent that $1,000 and bought all them toys and the shine wore off, I'm still living with that lie." And can I tell you tonight, doing right is still all right. Know, Lord, how we need to pray. If there's ever been a time, let me ask you something. You got any lost loved ones dying, going to hell? I mean, I wonder tonight if we had a show of hands, how many mom and daddies is going to die and go to hell? Mom and daddies that's raised us, sat around a table, sat on a porch and rocked us, going to die and go to hell. Wonder how many. Wonder how many siblings, wonder how many brothers and sisters we've slept in a bed with coming up, that we wore their clothes, that we've eaten around the table, going to die and go to hell in their sins. Wonder how many tonight. And we ain't prayed and asked God about nothing. Where's your youngins tonight? Matter of fact, I probably pray more for your youngins than some of you do. That's pretty bad. Don't look down. We're not praying right now. We're preaching right now. You need to hear some preaching. We caught up in this thing of society, and everybody's chasing a whirlwind. Boy, Brother Darrell, call and give me a verse this evening. I pinned it down. I want to turn to it. Look in Hosea chapter number 8. That's right where we are tonight. The book of Hosea. Chapter number 8. I want you to look at verse number 7. Hosea 8. Verse number 7. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. If it hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm talking about we in a society, we've sown to the wind, and now we're reaping the whirlwind. Let me tell you something tonight. I'm not preaching a sermon to knock it out of the park. I'm preaching a sermon to be persistent, to build a fundamental foundation in a ministry where youngins is going to come along and somebody's going to take this baton from me one of these days. Honey, I'm in this thing for a long haul. I'm not in here for one outline and a message tonight and leave you. I'm in here to bury your youngins and marry your youngins and bury you and marry you. And if I don't tell you the truth, woe is me. Woe is me if I don't tell you the truth and shake you up. You better have something to reach back and get a hold to when it comes to your house. You out there running this world around, I don't know what you're going to do when you catch it. We better stay true to our God and keep the slack out of our britches. We walk around, we just hit and miss as we want to. What kind of example are we setting? We praying, what kind of examples are we setting at home? It ain't these educators. It's not their responsibility to raise our children. We allow things to go. I heard about a family the other night, 12 years old and 13, having girl and boy spend a night parties together in the yard. Would somebody give me a break? Does people not know what little boys and girls do? Oh, they're in one tent and the other's in the other tent. Well, howdy do. You must be a moron. That's good preaching, Pastor. I could just see about 9 little old boys in a tent and 9 little old girls in my backyard. Some of you about as gullible as that. Some of you need to be on that new game show Renee's a watching. What is it, hon? No, they asked a question the other night. What's the most thing you would do to a fish? Well, somebody said, flush it. Flush it. Thought you clean fish and eat fish. I can't relate to this new generation. I don't know what people's thinking. They not thinking. Some of you older men say amen right there. They not thinking. That little boy pulls up to take your girl out, honey. You better be keeping your eyes on them. Send them to the world. Well, I can't control my child. She's 13. Hogwash. Hogwash. Well, you know, I don't want to offend her, and I want to be her friend. You better get you some guts and be a mama. And be a daddy and quit letting mama run you. Their odds is bad enough they sit there on the couch till they're 16. Much less send them out there at 13. Oh, but look at Hollywood, preacher. Yeah, look at them. They're all headed to hell. God, I didn't have no liberty this morning. I'm making up for it tonight. And I'm afraid to look around at somebody because somebody's so goo-goo eyed, I'm going to get real mean for this service, though. Your problem is you just ain't used to no preacher. You got your little hireling at deacon's meet in the back room. And say, you better not go there now. We may run somebody off. What about clean off a spot and let somebody good sit down? Somebody don't think that you owe them everything for being here. You know, that younger brother, the prodigal, he come to himself in the hog pen. He said, Lord, I don't deserve nothing you got. I don't deserve nothing. Just let me go be one of your hired servants. Just let me get back home and it'll be all right. Another boy said, it ain't good enough for me. You owe me more. Say, you owe me more because I've stayed here all these years. I've served you, Lovey. I deserve more. And he had a bad attitude. That's an individual hard to pastor. Honey, let me tell you something. When you think you're doing God a favor for coming to this church, you washed up. Amen. And when you think you deserve more than what God's given you and me, we washed up tonight. Well, preacher, you don't understand my background. No, I'm glad I don't know your background. I know enough about mine. That's all I want to know. But honey, I'm going to tell you, we better not let up on this thing of praying. Danger of holding back preaching, holding back praying, and then holding back praising. Could just somebody one time show me in the Bible where we're not to praise our God? Can somebody one time show me in a church service where you can't raise your hand and say hallelujah? Psalm 79:13. I was supposed to be done. I wasn't going to preach tonight much. Somebody done struck a nerve. Psalm 79:13. Underline this, would you? So we thy people and sheep of thy pastor will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Psalms 86 and verse number 12. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. Now I'll glorify thy name forevermore. Because I tell you why I will. For great is thy mercy toward me. Oh my, and thou hast delivered my soul, watch this, from the lowest hell. He said, that's where I ought to been. I ought to been down there with that Hussein bunch. Let me tell you, they is a degree in hell tonight. And David said, all the things I've done, I ought to be in the worst spot there. And let me tell you, the best place there, you don't want to be there tonight. Let's don't get confused that it's a good seat in hell. It ain't one. But David said, I'm going to praise you because I ought to be in the lowest hell tonight. Tell me why we can't raise our hands and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for going to a cross for me. Thank you for seeing about me when I wouldn't even see about myself nor my family. Some of you ought to run around and climb the flagpole jumping, shouting for what God's done for you that we don't even know nothing about. Out acting crazy. Waking up, not even know how we got there. The sovereign hand of a merciful God. God didn't give you justice. He didn't give me justice. He'd give us mercy. Thank the Lord for a God of mercy. You say, preacher, my young'uns won't do what their young'uns is doing. You just wait. Just wait till your bunch comes along. Right now, honey, they on your toes. They're going to get on your heart. And I'd sure be careful to say mine wouldn't never do that because I done found out crow don't go down real good. Lastly, Psalms 106:48. Watch this in your Bible. Psalms 106:48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say amen and praise ye the Lord. Hey, Sherry, would you come one last time for me tonight? I told some of me in the prayer room this morning, I believe I had one of the hardest times preaching in this church I've had in years. I don't take it lightly. But I can tell you what fixes it. It's praying and preaching. Loving one another. I don't care what you've done. Calvary can forgive you tonight. I don't care how long you've been doing it. The blood of Jesus can wash you clean. There's no doubt in my mind this morning. There's families set in every place. Needed a word from the Lord. The devil fighting. The devil knows what's going on in this place. Don't you think he's taking it lightly? We better learn to pray in these last days. You that don't have no loved ones, it's not safe. You better be praying them in. God honors prayer. Do you know that? Any of y'all got grand young'uns? Did you, Brother Randall, did you ever think, did you ever think that they could get to your heart the way they can get to your heart? Did you ever think it? I didn't. Brother Gerald, would you ever thought it? Well, don't you think if them little young'uns keep asking us of something, just keep on for long, you know what? They're going to get our attention. And that same analogy in Luke's gospel says, shall not the Lord avenge his elect, which cry to him night and day? It's no telling what we could see if we'd pray. It's no telling where we could go with the Lord if we'd pray. Oh, but they held it back, and you know what? It brought them death. And any church that hold back preaching and praying and praising, it's always going to do one thing, die. What you need tonight. I can guarantee you the Lord's got it. Won't you come, trust Him with it. Whatever you need tonight, just between you and the Lord, you come. Altar's open, I'm done preaching. Whatever you need tonight in your life, you come and ask the Lord.